We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Nick Friedel
on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, we got one more segment before we turn it over to Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Another fun show, as far as I'm concerned. I hope the listener thinks so. I don't see why not. I mean, we're pretty funny. We got a lot of sports knowledge, and we're all good-natured.
And just a great spot on the sports calendar. You know, A's and Giants playing well in the mix. Niners schedule and Raiders and every other team, it's out. Now you can dream. And Warriors in an incredible spot. And tonight, Nick, really a good spectator spot for the Warriors fans. Could you get a chance to root for Sacramento? Kings playing for something. They're mathematically still alive. I know it's an unbelievable long shot that they'd be able to make it happen, but should be exciting. Kings and Grizzlies, you can hope that Sacramento does you a solid, but either way, a lot of entertaining NBA to watch from now until the end of the weekend, and then we're into the playoffs.
The Dibs, you know, you can ask any Kings fan what it's like cheering for a Sacramento team, and it's just heartbreak waiting to happen. So don't get too emotionally invested in anything the Kings do, because it's destined to make you not feel great in the end.
Dibs, do you have, like, the details of – so do they play the Kings tonight, the Memphis against the Kings tonight and tomorrow?
Correct. Correct. And tomorrow's game tips off at 5 local, yeah. So the Warriors, while they won't know the exact final result, they'll have an idea. You know. So if Memphis loses tonight, God forbid, and then if they're getting boat raced tomorrow, you might see the Warriors approach tomorrow's game a little bit differently. Because if Memphis loses twice and you beat the Pelicans, well, now Sunday is moot.
Exactly. I can't. I
can't either.
Don't count.
I'm just saying
on
it's a possibility.
Yeah. Absolutely, it's within the
and most of the times this year, and Kyle, who's brilliant, had the stat earlier about teams playing the same opponent back to back. More often than not, it's a split. It's not extraordinarily prevalent or prevalent, depending on how you want to pronounce it, but a split would be the most likely of these two games.
Yeah, and I don't know how we're going to handle this, but it's somebody's lock of the day.
It's time for Guru's Dibs. Lock of the Day.
Lock the lady tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's the lock of the day. We're handing it off to Dibs with Goo out. We like the bit, and we're talking about handing it to somebody else anyway, so we figured this is as good a time as any to hand it to Dibs. So the Dibs lock of the day is brought to you by BetQL. Baseball is back. Basketball teams are battling for playoff spots, and BetQL can help you bet on all of it. BetQL analyzes every bet from every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. It's time to get better at betting. Visit BetQL.com to use promo code BAY for 20% off. That's 20% off with promo code BAY. That's B-A-Y, Dibs, at BetQL.com. Well, we don't have a lock from last night to go through, but Dibs, you did use BetQL. He took 3 five-star bets. He put together that little 3-team parlay that hit for you. So I'm confident that you can give us a winner tonight.
Yeah, and I'm 1-1 in today's soccer action. We had Aston Villa to win the morning game. That was a draw, and well, for those of you scoring at home, the over has now hit Liverpool leading Man U 3-1. So we're running pretty good. We're running 50-50, but there's a game in the NBA, guys. I loved.
Hey, Dibs, I'm sorry to interrupt. I know, but can you tell us what the three-team parlay was? And honestly, about the five-star picks.
It was a cross-pollination sensation is what it was. A little bit of baseball. We had the White Sox not on the run line just to win. That was a comfortable victory. We took the Marlins and a run and a half. And, well, they won outright 3-2 over Arizona. And then we liked the Houston Rockets, the dregs, getting 8.5. And, well, darn it, they hung in there against the Lake Show. I was secretly watching that on my phone in bed, and they lost by 2. So that was the three-teamer. And for tonight, the pick is in. First time, Spadoni?
It's not used to your voice yet.
First time, long time? It's a pick I loved, and then I went to BetQL.com, and it's a five-star selection. We love your team tonight, Steiny, the Atlanta Hawks, a team playing for something, playing with a purpose against the Orlando Magic. And the Magic, let's just put the rat on the table. Might be first rat of the day. They're terrible. The Magic are terrible. We're taking the Hawks. We're laying the 12.5. And let's be honest, this thing should be over at halftime, guys.
Man. Well, you're right about the Hawks having something to play for. They can still, they need to stay in four. To get home court, but I wonder, Dibs, that's a young team. They made the playoffs for the first time. Are you worried that, quite frankly, that might it might be a hungover team today?
Steinmush to the rescue, Nick. Matthew Steinmush.
I was day drinking.
Or it's Mushu Steinmetz. I don't know which one you prefer.
Wait,
but
you can't, this is the way you analyze a game, I would think. You've obviously took that into consideration, and you eschewed it, which is fine. Right?
His favorite Disney character is Mushu.
Totally. His favorite dish.
There we go.
It's Mushu pork.
He prefers not French fries, but mushed potatoes.
How much time we got here, Spino?
About a half an hour, Steiny.
Oh, shoot.
About a half an hour. Yes, analysis.
Steiny, here's why I think you're okay, though. I think Dibs is going to make it because the Magic are so bad that even if the Hawks wouldn't had a celebratory beverage or two last night, they still should be able to push through and beat a Magic team that is very ready for the end of the season.
And there's some of the trends I've been following here late, Nick, because there's five teams that have basically given up. And it's not that they're not trying, but there's just some terrible
teams.
They
really don't care.
Well, and if they do care, quite frankly, they're so overmatched. Like if the Warriors decide to sit Steph, Dre, and Wig, two-way Wig, now that he's in our good graces. And if you roll out there with Mulder, Toscano Anderson, Smiley Geach, Poole, and Mannion, it doesn't matter if you try or not. You're probably overmatched on the floor. And Orlando's been one of these teams that's been overmatched. So one of the bets I was looking at via BetQL.com making perfect sense is the first half. It's only -9 Atlanta in the first half. These good teams that are still trying tend to, if they're going to blow a team out, try to put them away at halftime. That way you can rest guys in the second half.
Yeah, it's a good. I like that. Can I say that?
The first half blitzkrieg. Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that?
You can say whatever you want, Steiny. I don't believe in the mush. It's just a fun way to kind of to poke you.
All right. That's.
I will say this, though.
Okay, as
we talk about the dregs of the NBA, Minnesota, quietly, or maybe not so quietly, they now have the 7th worst record in the association. They're behind Houston, Detroit, OKC, Orlando, and Cleveland. The 6th worst, actually, guys.
They're a notch above the tank line because those those first few names of teams, they want no part of the wins anymore. Minnesota decided, we're going to have to give up this pick anyway, so we might as well try and win a few games down the stretch. And, guys, even if that Warriors pick lands at 7, the Warriors will take it. This was always supposed to be a more loaded draft than what we may see next year. So, fine. It's all okay. As long as that pick conveys and it's still pretty solid, the Warriors will be fine.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about, you asked me about Lloyd Pierce earlier. It's like, man, Lloyd Pierce to Nate McMillan and then Ryan Saunders to Finch. Those teams have just, they took off after coaching changes and were able to sustain it all year. It wasn't just a, you know, just a quick little run. So
yeah, the problem with Minnesota being at six is there's a 0.1% chance that they end up picking 10th. So that's not worst case scenario, I don't think, Nick, but obviously the worst you could do right now would be to pick 10th with the Minnesota pick, and you would end up picking, what, 19th, I think, with your own pick if you end up with the 11th best record in the association. So that's, I guess, worst case scenario.
Well, no, the worst case scenario is giving up that pick to Oklahoma City. That the Oubre pick that isn't going to convey, it looks like. But in theory, I would rather have the 10th pick in this draft than the 8th pick in next year's draft, if we're trying to measure where things may or may not convey. So just get this pick in this draft and hope for the best.
Well, I guess the real worst case scenario would be you don't get it this year and then Minnesota makes it in the playoffs next year. So next year you end up picking with the 18th or the 19th pick. And I think with the Lakers win last night, you officially will not lose that pick because you cannot be a top 10 team in our league.
Yeah, Dibs. And you know what else, too, I was thinking is they definitely want the pick this year, even if it is 8, let's say. I think you're right on. And you know why? And I must have missed this quote from Steve Kerr. So, Nick, you can help me if you know exactly when it was. But Kerr was asked about Steph Curry recently, and he said, he's just so damn good. We need to maximize this stretch. You have to appreciate what he's doing, then do everything we can to build the best team around him. And, man, did that just smell of, we're going to try to get better this offseason with veterans or with, you know what I mean? So I think they would love to have the number 7 pick to move it. For something maybe that can help them sooner. Did you think of it that way?
Historically, you just can't win titles with rookies. It just doesn't happen. So, Steiny, if you're trying to read between the lines in that quote, and a lot can happen here in the next few months, the question comes back to what it always is with this Warriors roster. It's what do you do with Wiseman? That's what this boils down to. What do you do with Wiseman and this pick from Minnesota, wherever it may land? And if you decide everything has to be possible with the fact that Steph is playing at this level, well, then it's not out of the realm. And I can think of just a couple months ago, I was with you guys and Fitz was on, and Fitz is like, well, you know, they're not going to move Wiseman. It's not going to happen. I don't know if anybody could say that with the same certainty going into the summer now, knowing that he's coming off an injury and knowing what we've seen from Steph, because that's the move. If you're trying to improve yourself instantly with a veteran player, that's the move you have to decide whether or not you want to make.
Yeah. And we're going to have plenty of time to talk about that. And I don't think that's really going anywhere, that particular issue, as it relates to the Warriors and what they want to do to maximize Steph's window. For sure. Hey, I want to have some more fun with the schedule. We were talking about the San Francisco 49ers schedule that came out today. So I'm gonna ask you guys a couple questions about the schedule because I have some different ways to look at it. So Dibs, what would be the one must see game on the schedule? The one game whether it's you have to be in front of the TV to watch, or you have to go to the game. What's the number one must-see game?
Boy, that's a great question. I would still look at that that Seattle game. Although, you know what? The one to go to, and I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there and try to clear the decks early, it's when the Packers come to town. The Packers come to Levi's in a primetime game at Levi's Stadium. In person, it's limited right now. Hopefully the capacity will be full. Something about Aaron Rodgers, assuming he quarterbacks the Packers, and that's a long way from now. We don't yet know if that'll be the case. But Packers and Niners at Levi's on a September evening, that's the one for me, Steiny, because if it is capacity, full capacity, close to full, What a great time to go out and tailgate. September in the Bay Area is like July everywhere else. It is spectacular. The only thing better than September is October. So get me a primetime night game with a good, healthy tailgate. And oh, by the way, not doing morning show anymore? Sorry, Shasky. Apologies, Kate. But you get to halftime, and you already need to get to bed.
Exactly. Nick?
Oh, yeah.
Look, Dibs is right, because that game has the most juice. But if I'm trying to get to one game, on top of the fact that it's fun and you'd be in Nashville, Steiny, the game that is most intriguing to me is Niners-Titans right before Christmas. That has a chance to not only have a lot on the line, but you've got two teams as we go into the season that are supposed to be right at or near the top of their respective conferences. That has a chance to be a lot of fun and a lot of points to be had in that one.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think there's a chance that they're going to bill that as a possible Super Bowl preview.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have two teams at 13-2 or 12-3. Who knows? The thing that worries me about the Packers game, obviously, is a must-see, is whether Aaron Rodgers plays or not, because you buy a ticket to that one and he doesn't play, and now all of a sudden you may be seeing a 41-3 game. I'm going to stick with the week after that against the Seahawks. Just to love to see maybe their biggest rival at Levi Stadium. The place will be loud. The place will be rocking. But here's the other thing I was thinking. We don't know really what's going on in Seattle with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, right? I mean, there's a chance. Isn't there a chance that the Seahawks could fall off this year if maybe they get off to a tough start and some finger-pointing maybe occurs, because Russell Wilson was critical of their offensive line. I think they're fragile, Dibs.
I'm not buying the fragility until I see it up close and personal, because you still have one of the best five quarterbacks in the game. You've got an unbelievable home field advantage that is going to return to life as we come out of this pandemic. And you've got a wide receiver who we know can go 10-3 in the 100-meter dash, because we saw it, Nick. DK Metcalf running the 100 last week. So until they really fall off, or until, you know, something happens to Russ, or if he decides he doesn't want to play, or they make a move on Pete Carroll, you got to respect Seattle, in my opinion.
Yeah, but that is one storyline that was so hot for a while, and it just kind of disappeared. You don't hear about that one nearly as much as Rodgers and what's going to happen in Green Bay. It was like Russell Wilson seemed like he was out of there, and then there wasn't really a deal that presented itself that we really liked. So now he's got to stay, and you got to hang on and hope that that professional marriage works. But Steiny, I'm with you. Once you start to see that smoke and you hear the stories, your quarterback's not happy, and the players, they don't seem to be rallying around him the same way. A couple quick losses pile up early in the year, and the entire tenor of a season can change.
Yeah, and let's be honest. Aaron Rodgers far more likely to sabotage a season than Russell Wilson. I think we can acknowledge that. All right, here's the next one. You have to miss a game this year. You can't watch all 17. You've got to pick one to say, hit the pike. Which is the 49er game you're missing? Dibs.
It's the Bengal game for me. I mean, I love Joe Burrow, but you'll get plenty of cracks to see Burrow down the road. It's a case where you've got the Seahawks on December 5th, which is after a Viking game, which could be a playoff preview. And then there's a little bit of a letdown because you have the Bengals, and then you'll come home and you'll take on the Falcons. It's a weird spot. And for me, a Bengal game in Cincinnati, if I have to miss one, that's the one.
Nick?
The Jags. If I'm not going to that game, Steiny, and I'm not having my little weekend in Ponte Vedra, the Jags are like 2 years away from being 2 years away with Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer trying to get everything settled, although Tebow is tight end could make it a little more interesting. But yeah, Jags, Niners in the middle of the season. I'm not running to my TV for that one.
All right. Believe it or not, I'm going to watch the Jaguars game just to see Trevor Lawrence. So I'm going to stick with that one. Believe it or not, I'm going to miss the opener against the Lions for a couple reasons. One, it's the Lions. Two, you know what? You miss the Lions game, and then you run the table with 16 more, and you don't have to miss one in the middle. I mean, maybe, you know, the thing that could happen is maybe that Bengals game or those games late have big meaning, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, I'm missing that game that they – I mean, they got to beat the Bengals. All right, here's the last one we'll do. What's the game we're most likely to see Trey Lance's debut? Trey Lance's debut, Dibs.
And I assume you mean as the quarterback under center or just as a player on the field?
You know what? Let's go quarterback under center.
Okay. Quarterback under center. I think that he'll play week one.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to change it.
In a bit of a wildcat. Yeah. That's what I do, Nick, as a friend, is I tighten up his loose questions, and then we're able to proceed.
Right. It's called humiliating somebody in front of billions of people.
For the betterment of the bit and for my own self-esteem. God, it's not that complex. It's the game.
Number one here.
I'm going to go with the Jaguars game, November 21st. That's when he'll make his debut. You know, 49ers at that point might be 7-2 or 8-1, and might be time to give Jimmy a powder.
Steiny, as we look at the schedule, I think the Niners are going to be good enough where we don't have to see Trey Lance. I don't think there's a game that pops off only because I think that roster is that talented, but just for argument's sake, I'd go with Week 10. November 15th against the Rams on Monday night. Because in this scenario, the Niners got out the gate slowly. They didn't play the way everybody expected them to. Jimmy was kind of hit or miss. He's been dealing with some injuries. Why not give Lance the opportunity on the biggest stage to see what he's got?
I like it. I'm gonna go conventional wisdom. Somewhat conventional wisdom. October 24th against the Colts. It's after the bye week, five games into the season. I could see Jimmy struggling, or I could see by that point Lance has impressed the coaching staff. October 24th. But I will say this, guys, and tell me if you agree. You look at this schedule. I mean, you know, if the 49ers start out 3-1, then they go to the Cardinals and go to 4-1, you know, and then they're 4-2, but then they're 6-3, and then they're 9-4. Maybe Lance won't play this year, Dibs, because won't it be based on their record, right? Or could you see a scenario in which the 49ers are winning, but Garoppolo's not playing as well as Shanahan thinks, and he still makes the change?
If he's playing poorly and they're winning, you know, if they're 7-3 and Jimmy G's thrown 10 touchdowns and 10 interceptions and you've rescued two games from the depths based on a defensive play or a special teams play or something fluky, then you make the change. It's about the record first, but right behind it, it's how good or how well is Jimmy G playing? Because if Jimmy G's playing well and you're 5-4, but he's just lighting it up and he looks great, well, you're not gonna pull him unless Jimmy G plays poorly. So I think it's as much about his play as it is about the record.
You're almost getting into the Fitzpatrick Tua situation.
Yeah, that's
From Miami from a year ago, because Fitzpatrick was playing okay, but Flores figured, hey, this is my guy, and this is going to be my guy for a long time, and it's time to see what he's got. So I don't think we're at that point just because Jimmy G has had the success that he's already had in this system, and all these guys know him and really seem to like him. But I'm with Dibs. If you start to see him waver at all and that team is not having much success behind him, that switch is going to be there.
Yeah, the other thing I'm looking at this schedule, and fun thing about the NFL schedule, and you guys are so right, with only 17 games, they're all big, there's a possibility maybe on October 31st in Chicago, who knows, we could see two rookie quarterbacks making their debuts. You know what I mean? That could be Justin Fields versus Trey Lance if you get a little bit of kismet or a little bit of coincidence. We'll see.
It's exciting. And the only thing that's different from the Dolphins situation and the Niners is that the Niners have their eyes on the prize, the playoffs. And Miami, if things went well, yeah, you could be a playoff team. But realistically, this is the year for Miami now with Tua where they're looking at it. And look no further than the win totals, guys, the updated over-under win totals from Vegas, 10.5 for the 49ers. And the under actually is heavily juiced at minus 150. So over 10.5 wins, do they go 11-6, gentlemen?
I mean, my first instinct is yes, I'd go over on that one. But I'm always assuming health. Dibs, do those lines change? And to what degree after the schedule's released? Or is there no movement just because of the schedule?
There might be a half a game of movement, but it moves more often based on the money that comes in on these over-unders. And when the schedule comes out, there is a new batch of cash that comes into the market because people now can say, oh, that's a win. That's a lot. You know, I went through and did my game by game with the Niners, and I had them at 12-5. So I look at the 10.5, and I think, okay, that's a game and a half difference. I like that over 10.5. So as you play the schedule game, and you go through, that's a win, that's a loss, oh, there's a hiccup, that's that. And, you know, you come to a number, and then you go from there.
Yeah. There's no reason to believe, guys. I mean, if they stay healthy, this team is winning 11, 12 games. They've got too much talent. As always, it comes down to who can stay healthy and who can stay on the field. And that's why if you're believing that they can cross that over, Steiny, you've got to believe that Jimmy's still the guy. I don't see the scenario where a rookie quarterback comes in and can elevate his own game while getting everybody else going. I just feel like now is the time for them to win, and they know if they want to win right away that Jimmy's probably the guy that gives them the best chance to do it.
Yeah, and if you go to Trey Lance, that team better feel like he can do it, even as a rookie. You can't make that change if you know that you may lose the locker room.
And that goes to the Wiseman conversation. I know everything doesn't have to come back to Wiseman, but you could see the frustration of Draymond and Steph at times having to spoon feed him and having to always be telling him where to go. And that's fine in the preseason and early in a year, but you get down to this spot. And to your point about Trey Lance, if the Niners are 7-3 and Jimmy G's been okay, you know, he's throwing for 225. He's doing Jimmy G things. 225 a game, two tugs and a pick. That one pick a game of like, how could you? But you're 7-3. If the team doesn't think that Lance is ready, but Shanahan goes to Lance, that's how you can lose the locker room in a hurry.
Yeah.
Well, and it Dibs, to your point, who also believed, like Steph and Draymond, that there were times where Wiseman wasn't ready and he frustrated the hell out of him. It was Steve Kerr. Everybody in that regard was on the same page as far as the way Wiseman developed or the lack of development throughout the season before that knee injury that knocked him out. Everybody likes Wiseman. They think he can get a lot better, but there is no question. When you would watch Draymond or you would watch Steph and Wiseman would miss another defensive rotation or something would be off, that the look on everybody's face has told the story. And then you're watching Steve Kerr trying to pull him in and out of the lineup, and you're going, all right, well, everybody seems to be on the same page on this one, which is why, in some part, the Warriors lose Wiseman, and they're playing their best basketball of the season now.
Yeah, exactly.
To the same point, Steiny, if the Niners are 3-7, and Jimmy G is doing Jimmy G things, you know, 225, two. Then you can go ahead and go to Trey Lance and you can say to the team, look, Jimmy's been okay, but we need to jumpstart this thing. My guy's ready. You know, are you with me? It's easier to sell a quarterback change at 3-7 than it is 7-3.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Jimmy.
And the one scenario that I haven't even thought of would be, what if they're 3-7, Dibs, but they've got so many injuries – that they're giving up a ton of points. And Garoppolo's numbers look great. You know what I mean? Because they've been losing games 45-28. I know it's far-fetched, but I like to think about
it. And trade them before the deadline and throw Lance in there.
Yeah, there that's true. Hey, I wanted to get to this before we get off the air today, because it's a pretty shocking story as far as I'm concerned. So the NCAA Women's Golf Tournament is going on right now, and they were having a regional in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that was supposed to happen earlier this week. So they had a lot of weather in Louisiana, so the tournament was delayed for a couple of days. But there was a rule that said the teams that are going to advance in the tournament, they had to be, complete the regional by Wednesday. Well, yesterday they were in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and there were a bunch of NCAA college women's teams there that were ready to play. The weather had let up, and the director of the regional canceled the tournament, despite every coach and every player wanting to play. And his reasoning was, he said to these women, listen, this course is playable, but it's not championship caliber playable. So he said, oh, it's a heart-wrenching decision, but it's one we have to make. And what I want you to do is listen to the reaction. He said this in front of the players and in front of the coaches. He walked down some steps outside the clubhouse and basically just said, we've decided to cancel the tournament. Now, that means all those women's seasons are over. Take a listen to how they reacted to this awful announcement.
It's playable.
It's playable.
It's playable.
It's playable.
It's playable. It's playable. It's playable. It's playable.
This is what we play!
Yes.
Are you serious? You should be ashamed of yourself!
That is so terrible!
Thank you for ending our careers!
Thank you, seniors!
I mean, put yourself in their shoes. You know, it'd be like, okay, look, we gotta... Even the tournament was – the course was playable. It just wasn't championship caliber, and he made a decision to not – I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine, Dibs.
Well, I want to hear more about who made the decision and how it was made and why it was made. I don't think we've heard that part of it. I'll say this, though, Nick. When you're canceling a golf tournament because of weather – it's bad optics when one of the members of your entourage comes out wearing shorts. And if you look at the video, there's the one guy canceling it, there's two other people in pants, and then the one guy's out there in shorts. And there's blue sky all around. The course was saturated, but you could have gotten the standing water off, and you could have made it happen. But why didn't you? That's the piece I still want to hear about, Steiny, because on the surface, it's absolutely appalling.
Yeah,
everybody was there. That's
exactly
the part that I just don't get. You've got all these women from all across the country. They're all there. They all want to play. Play. How bad could it have possibly been?
That's a great question. And Dibs and Nick, the coach of Miami is a former pro on the LPGA tour who said she played frequently on the tour in Hawaii, for example, where it would rain. They'd have rivers down the fairways. The bunkers would be, have puddles in them essentially. And you just play essentially winter rules. You lift in place, put it in a place in the bunker that's dry, and move it to the side of the fairway on one side of the little waterway. I mean, it's just if it's still the same rules for everybody, right? There's no advantage. So I don't know. It just kind of reeked of some things we're seeing lately in light of what happened with the NCAA men's and women's tournament and the weight rooms. Pretty sad. just figured I'd bring that to everybody's attention.
No, it's especially sad in light of what everyone's gone through from a pandemic standpoint. My son is a senior at Skyline High, is going to end up losing basically two golf seasons, his junior season and his senior season in high school. So he's not going to go on in golf in college. So short of Monday's OAL final, which hopefully they're going to be able to hold, that's it. So it sucks to have everything get canceled because of COVID is one thing, but to be in a spot where you're finally coming out of it and you're ready to go and it's the regionals and this is your one crack at it, and for no real good reason, it seems, it's canceled, that's even like a double gut punch.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to my goofy little Division III career, and if somebody just said, I know you guys are seniors, but no NCAA tournament this year, no chance at the Division III title. You know, I would have said, well, look, we didn't have a chance anyway, but can we play the game? Yeah. Let me get D3. My 22. All right. Damon Ratto and Kolsky coming up next.
D3.
And the 49ers schedule is out. There's going to be a lot of talk about that. The Warriors in the thick of it. The bottom line is this. Hang tight for Damon Ratto and Kolsky.